Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you by GrowMark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for this Thursday, June 10th. I am your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here with us once again. MarketTalkAg.com, that is our home on the World Wide Web, the all-new MarketTalkAg.com. You could find that by going to your web browser, type it in, markettalkag.com. A lot of great information there for you. All of our streaming sources, everything can be found online, on demand, markettalkag.com. We have a WASDE report to talk about, plenty of things to discuss here on today's show. Let's bring in our good friend John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing. And John, good afternoon to you. I know a busy day around the office. A few things to discuss, a couple surprises, a couple numbers that came in pretty much where we thought they would. Let's start with corn. Just to get into our discussion, I know that Brazil number was a hot topic, but you and I were chatting a little bit. You pointed to an old crop reduction number that really was a kind of a surprise for corn that kind of, you know, fueled into this market a little bit today.
Yeah, you know, the USDA actually made some moves on that old crop pile. I don't know if it was a surprise. I think the market kind of knew it was out there, but was just curious if the USDA was actually going to make those adjustments. And, you know, seeing them shave 150 million bushels off old crop carryover, you know, 75 million bushels added into the ethanol demand, 75 million bushels added into the export side, you know, bringing that carryout down to 1.1 billion bushels. I mean, that is getting to be an extremely tight number. You know, and then we plop that into the lovely stocks to use ratio. We're down to 2.4. Basically days of use, 2.4% days of use. So you're looking at, what, 7-8 days of use total available corn supply out there. That's the lowest number in 25 years. You know, so that's some of the reason we saw the strength in the corn market today. You know, on top of that Brazil number, I think the market was expecting the Brazil number to come down. In fact, it came down down to 98, you know, and change in that regard, but it was still a little bit above what the market was expecting. So maybe there's still a little room for that down the road. But, you know, now you carry that, you know, reduction on that old crop carryout into the new crop, and now we're down to 1.375 million bushels for next year. I know we're counting on some more acres coming, but the weather obviously is going to be a big factor. And you know, if we continue this pace, we're not going to put that 179.5 yield out there.
Well, I know CONAB came out with their number on the Brazil crop as well, and they were down about 96.4. And so some people thinking USDA was still a little bit, you know, cautious with their estimate on that Brazil crop and maybe could have lowered it a little bit more. But as you said, to your point, a lot of folks expecting that number to come down. So it seemed like all those factors, plus the weather you mentioned, because that's at the backdrop of all of this, kind of helped prop up that core market today. And I know some good strength at the close. We were a lot higher as we got that report in, but we ended up settling moderately higher today.
Yeah, you know, now the shift comes back to, or the focus comes back to, the weather in the near term. Obviously, the acre report at the end of the month and the grain stocks numbers at the end of the month, those will be highly anticipated now. I mean, the market's already anticipating more corn and bean acres to be on that report. We just need to get a finalized number so we can, you know, adjust the balance sheets. But then, you know, we got to see where this crop is. I mean, obviously the weather issues are out there. We did see the rating slip again last week. You know, what's that really mean at this time frame? It's still plenty early, you know, but these forecasts continue to hold this heat in, continue to hold the dryness in, really focusing probably on that, you know, 500-mile circle around the Iowa-Minnesota border. You know, that's an area now that's probably becoming the biggest focus, and you saw that area intensify on the drought monitor maps. You go look at corn and soybean production maps that are put out there, that is a major chunk of bushels that's sitting in that region that is still continuing to miss moisture. And that's going to be probably the focus, I think, going into the next week or so before we start talking about that acre report.
Well, I'll come back to some thoughts on some marketing here before we get to that, though. Let's talk soybeans. I think that was another surprise in the report. USDA lowered crush today. That raised old and new crop ending stocks, and we saw you know, some pressure in that soybean market today due to that, especially the old crop side. I know new crop was better, but old crop side saw that pressure today. What do you make of those changes to soybean crush and the soybean numbers overall, John?
Well, probably a logical move at this time frame. Disappointing to the market. That's why we saw beans see the selling pressure they did, especially on the old crop side, you know, adding that 15 million bushels back in. You know, let's not, you know, get foolish on anything here, though. That is still an incredibly tight supply picture. You know, we still got good export demand. We're moving some of these bushels out, still on the shipping side. You know, maybe some of that crush number might be a fact that the beans aren't out there to crush. And so that could be some of the reason we're seeing the crush estimates, soften up a little in that regard. But the market didn't like it. A little cautious of that front month contract, just the way it looks on the charts as well right now. And we did hear some talk that some of the end users are comfortable with their bean supplies until we get into midsummer. That's the case. You know, it might be hard for that front end market to move at this time frame, especially if, you know, we are seeing a little bit more, supplies building up. But again, you know, we just still can't ignore the fact that even with that additional 15 million bushels, and we put that onto next year's pile at 150 million bushels of projected carryover, we don't know where that bean acres are going to be. We need that to be over 90 million. I kind of got a gut feeling it may not be. And if that's the case, you know, the stockpile is extremely tight. And then we come back and look at that weather. You know, can we get that type of a yield projection, you know, given the weather that we're seeing at this time frame? So it's going to be interesting. And that's, again, why you saw the market trade the way you did. Saw the selling pressure on that July contract, really taking the money off that spread between July and November, and the strength staying in those deferred contracts, just showing that tight supply picture going forward.
Well, John, looking at quarter beans, you mentioned the June 30th acreage report. That's going to be the next big milestone. But, of course, weather is going to really be the focus here and the hot topic moving forward. And I know the longer-term forecasts were hot and dry, that 10-day forecast hot and dry. There's talks of maybe some clusters of thunderstorms, but who knows who's going to get them. So if I'm looking at my marketing here moving forward into the weekend, into next week and beyond, and watching weather, I would have to think the things we talk about always, staying disciplined to your targets, but maybe leaving some of that topside open if you are doing any marketing right now, because that potential for weather risk sounds like it's really going to be out there the next week or two.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, in that regard, we've kind of been talking about maybe getting some sales into a comfortable level. Lately, though, starting to talk to producers, comfortable level is not selling anymore. They're a little concerned about where this crop is and what's going to happen with it. They don't want to obviously put themselves out there if they don't have the supplies at the end of the rainbow or end of the run here. So now we're starting to talk a little bit more about the put strategies. Okay, if you don't want to sell the physical, but you want to save some price value, make sure we're looking at those put floors, especially between now and that acreage report at the end of the month, in case we get that bearish surprise. And, you know, we do see 96 million acres of corn or 95 million acres of corn, you know, because that'll put some pressure on price as long as that yield stays where it is, you know, as we work into these supply demand reports in the summer. So that's going to be my focus now, you know, but if somebody is moving those sales or got some sales on the books, they want to make sure we keep that insurance policy over top. I still like the out of the money calls. I know we're buying, you know, 60, 70, 80 cents out of the money. But, you know, you look at a bull call spread where you buy a call, sell a call. Yeah, you can do it about the same price. But the volatility in this market, that single call all by itself out of the money is actually a stronger position. So that's where I've been staying with things for people. And people like the fact that we're spending a minimal amount on the market with unlimited upside and not damaging that sale in this window.
Great advice there, John. On the wheat side from the report, I didn't see much for headlines there. It was pretty neutral, maybe slightly bearish for wheat. Anything you saw there from the WASDE report for June?
Yeah, but like you said, pretty much in line with expectations. Carryover numbers were a little bit tighter on some bumped up feed usage in that regard. They did bump up the overall wheat yield at anticipation by less than a bushel per acre, especially based on what we saw in that winter wheat crop tour. So that was about the major numbers in it. Today, wheat acted a little bit more like a follower. Obviously, as corn held its strength, wheat hung in there pretty well. Now, it still continues to look at the global scale, where we are in global wheat prices, and actually, too, you know, what happens with wheat in terms of, you know, what happens with corn. If corn decides to get some bid, wheat will still be that factor that comes along with it. But again, pretty neutral report overall today for the wheat market, maybe just a smidge tighter than the market was expecting it to be.
Well, and the other thing we can't forget as well, it was an active day. We had weekly export sales and shipments this morning. Really weren't many headlines out of that for any of the crops, corn, beans, wheat, but those kind of factored into our early trade, maybe just a little bit, it seemed like, but we can't forget those were out there today either, John.
No, you can't. You know, and again, that was a bit of the sideline this morning. And, you know, again, corn numbers are actually a little bit disappointing today. So, you know, as we rallied in price here, maybe we shut off some of that export demand again. Still saw good shipments. That's the encouraging side, that we're getting these bushels on a boat and getting them out of here. You know, that's still one thing we need to keep on our radar going forward, especially with still the amount of old crop corn bushels that are still on the books. So that was still encouraging. Again, that's probably helping out a little bit on the front end of that corn market as well. It's just the fact that we're still trying to move these bushels out. We still need to keep meeting that demand. Soybeans, we're in the window now where the marketing, you know, shipping schedule is basically shutting down. The focus is on all on the corn side of the equation. But didn't hear some rumors late today that China may be starting to look to step into the new crop bean market. They picked that up about the 1st of July last year is when they started buying again, if you remember. So maybe they will see if they can start stepping into that market and picking up some new crop soybeans. So that was a little bit of a whisper talk I did here during the course of the day. So we'll see if that starts materializing, and that could really help out that new crop soybean market.
John, let's flip over to livestock, and on today's WASDE report, there were some fairly interesting livestock numbers there, but I think we have to put them into context. So maybe talk about what you saw with livestock on the WASDE report for June.
You know, we take a look at the livestock numbers. Now, they did raise cash markets up a little bit. The production basically was unchanged. There really wasn't a lot of movement there. Did like the fact they kept the export numbers fairly firm, especially for hogs well into next year. So that was encouraging to see. You know, that probably helps support those deferred hog contracts. Now, the cattle market right now, kind of really focused on what's in the here and now. You know, cash market, again, fairly steady this week. We are starting to hear some talk, though, that maybe the Packers are getting caught up. Just from talking to a few people, we're hearing some just more interest. Now, there's still cattle probably into the 1st of July, but at least we're getting some more talk out there that the Packers are looking for some cattle. So we'll have to see how that is. That could also be just, the impact of the hot weather across the region as well. You know, Packers want to make sure they get their supply secured in this window. Especially, get those cattle locked in if we start seeing weight slide, things of that nature. So, but that's something I'm really watching right now. The market's kind of acted that way this last couple of days. We've been bear spread with a heavy premium in the back months. Now we're starting to see a little bit more buying in the front months, which is encouraging to see. Usually if you can get those front months moving, those spreads pull the market higher. So that's kind of what I'm watching for right now. Not saying we're out of the woods here from going to a new low, but it just started to feel like the price action's a little better. Kind of really like the way things closed today in that live cattle market.
Very, very true. And I think that hog production number in the WASDE, I think the thing, to take away from that is it just seems like we're pulling some lighter weight hogs through to fill the commitments. And that was kind of, I think a few people, maybe their eyes popped a little bit when they first read that number, but then, like I was saying, you put it into context with everything else you mentioned, and then it makes quite a bit of sense.
And that hog month number two, we're seeing a lot of hogs still coming through the system, but that number is expected to tighten up as we go forward. First off, high feed costs, that is a major factor. In my mind, I look at December, I look at February into next year, just around the $90 window. You got $1.20 in the front end. I know that that's a pretty big gap between the two. The key to me is still going to be the demand, what happens there. And again, seeing the USDA kind of keep that export number relatively steady on the report today was encouraging. If we got hog numbers down, we got high grain costs, that's going to limit the hog numbers that are going to be available. That can only be supportive in that long-term hog contracts.
Any other thoughts on livestock for producers if they're looking at any sort of marketing plan or anything right now? I mean, we've covered a lot and talked about a lot lately just with how stagnant the cattle market is and where hogs are at. But any thoughts for producers? Anything new, I guess, to add to the conversation?
There really hasn't been a lot. The news front's gotten very, very quiet. But, you're still looking at some good third and fourth quarter value. I still like the hogs and the cattle out there overall. They're historical highs, but I would not want to be using anything that's a hedging type strategy in terms of a unlimited risk. You build your base through some puts, add them in at these levels, at least make sure you're protecting historical good value, and then let the market keep climbing. our daily newsletter, which I write for the livestock section. I just recently rolled some of the puts up in the hog market, you know, $3, $4, $5, and we're picking up $20 a strike price and moving our floor higher. And that's kind of the approach you want to handle out there, is build that floor, knowing you're locking in good levels, especially for both hogs and cattle in the third and fourth quarter. And if the prices keep climbing, you find a way to snug that floor up overall if this thing does decide to turn back around.
John, any other final thoughts you have for us today here? I know we touched on a lot of things to look at here. I'll be interested to see Friday's trade and then getting into next week with the weather forecast as well. Any other final thoughts you have for us today?
You know, one market really keep an eye on, too, in terms of the outside markets. Obviously, we've got the inflation data today, which was, I think we all knew it was going to be above expectations. So that was a little bit of a shock to the system today. So on the equity side, I'm watching that crude oil market right now. We're pushing the $70 barrel window. Obviously, demand is heating up. Maybe this hot weather slows it down a little bit as we don't go anywhere because we don't want to be out there in the heat. But at the same time, you start looking at the technical side, we get through 70, we got a high around 78 that's in front of us. And then that opens the door to challenge the $100 barrel crude oil. So if that comes into play, you know, that's going to continue to lift ethanol. That's going to continue to lift the corn market, as well as the other commodities in general, because a lot of times the commodity strength is driven by that crude oil price. So that's definitely on my radar right now. If we can break through the 70 barrier and push higher, you're going to still see that money flow come into the commodity sector.
Well, John, I know you guys have a great team there at Total Farm Marketing. A lot of advice that producers can check out on your website, or just by giving you guys a phone call or an email and connecting with you to get a little help with their marketing plan, can't they?
Yep, love to chat with them anytime. Feel free to call me at the office, 800-334-9779, or shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And like you said, don't forget about that website, totalfarmmarketing.com, get market information, weather, as well as some of the programs that we run. I know we had a webinar this afternoon with the USDA numbers that came out. You know, feel free to check out the information and go ahead and look to sign up for things. I'd love to chat with you anytime.
John, appreciate the time. As always, know it's a busy day for you. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Have a great week, everybody.
John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk for this Thursday, June 10th. Find us online, markettalkag.com. Today's show brought to you by GrowMark FS. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your afternoon.